This morning I want to open up the Word of God and I want to talk about what the Bible has to say about its clarity. That is, what does God mean by what He says and can we actually understand it? It seems like a strange topic to bring up because, after all, that's what we do every Sunday, right? We teach what the Bible means by what it says. And we've been doing that for almost 2,000 years, so you would think that it would be a given. That is, that the teachings of the Bible are clear, that we all understand that, and that that is what church is all about and what we as pastor teachers are supposed to do. One of the emerging movements that are coming within Christianity in this age of tolerance, where there's a tremendous amount of pressure in our society to just say everybody is right, that all religions are right, that Muhammad was just as right as Jesus, and that the books of the Upanishads, which the Hindus hold to, are just as valid as the Bible. And when you think about it, that pressure is very, very powerful. And what is happening in our society and within evangelical Christianity is there is a movement to begin to kind of let some of the teachings of what Jesus said about Himself and what salvation in Him is all about go. Let me give an example. Recently on Larry King Live, there was a Christian leader in a mainline denominational church. He was asked by Larry King this: "Don't you believe that Christianity is the right path, and therefore other religions have to be wrong?" This is what he responded. "Well, I believe it is the right path for Christians, but we're not here tonight to settle which religion is right. That dispute belongs to God. We're here to practice what we preach. I believe, now listen to this, I believe that my God is large enough to be inclusive of all who are created in God's image, and that includes those religions that are not Christians." In other words, what he's saying is this: well, God loves everybody, and God has created everybody, therefore what everybody thinks is right. I want you to turn to John chapter 14, verse 6 for a moment. John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6 is part of the Upper Room Discourse. Jesus is preparing His disciples for His leaving them and for their mission to take the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. And one of the principles of the good news of Jesus Christ is that there is salvation only in Jesus Christ. He said this, Jesus answered, John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All of missions is founded on the principle that people are lost without Jesus Christ. That when they're in other religions, they're trapped and deceived by Satan, and that Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ is a way of salvation. And Jesus was very, very clear about that. Well, lest you think that maybe this guy is an isolated case, let me give you another example from Larry King. Larry likes to deal with these topics, and I'm glad he does. On another Larry King Live, there was another pastor who is the senior pastor of the largest congregation in the United States. He is an evangelical pastor at the largest congregation in the United States. Larry King asked him, "What about if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all?" This is what he said. "Well, you know, I'm very careful about who I say or who I say would or wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know." Then King said, "Well, if you believe you have to believe in Christ, they're wrong, aren't they?" He said, "Well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe here's what the Bible teaches, and from the Christian faith, here's what I believe, but I believe only God can judge a person's heart." Now listen to this. "I spent a lot of time in India with my father, and I don't know all about the religion, but I know they love God. And I've seen their sincerity. I don't know. I know for me and what the Bible teaches, I want to have a relationship with Jesus." Three times he said, "I don't know about their salvation." My question is, why don't you know John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, if you were to probe these men, you would find that this is what they would probably say. Well, the scripture is clear in certain areas, and it's not really that clear in that area. But it is clear in that area. The pressure of the world to give up some of the central teachings of the scriptures is more powerful than you might realize. It is squeezing us, it is pushing us, without even realizing it, into giving up some of the central doctrines of the Word. And what happens is, we suddenly become confused. But should we become confused? And what I want to talk about this morning is, the central teachings of the Bible are clear to us. It's called the clarity of the Scriptures. And that means that the central truths of the Bible can be understood by God's people. It doesn't mean that we can understand every single passage, every single verse, because some just historical references we don't fully understand. But the issue is, can we understand the central teachings of the Scriptures about who God is, about how life was originated, about what the central problem of man is, about who Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did, about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, about the future and when Jesus Christ will return? Can we know and understand those things? And should we hold fast to those things? And the answers are yes, yes, and yes. The scripture is clear. And I want you to understand that because this movement is growing. There is another movement within Christianity, and what they're doing is they're giving almost a false humility. That is, they're saying, well, we don't know about all those people because we can't really know the scripture. I wouldn't be so proud to say that I know the Bible. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe we're wrong. I don't know. That movement is growing as well. And it fits into our age because a postmodern age is an age of, I don't know. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Don't be saying all that stuff about others. Now, doesn't mean we walk around and beat people on the head with the fact that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you're going to hell. But it does mean this, that is the gospel. If we say, well, we don't know, and that person goes to hell, but when they get to judgment, they will know. And we haven't told them the gospel. The gospel is that salvation is in Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, alone, and only in Him can you be saved. The central teachings of the gospel of the Bible is the fact that there is one God, and that God has revealed Himself as a triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His name is not Allah. There is not a God within us when we are born. We cannot all become gods. There is only one God, and His name is Jehovah. That is how He has revealed Himself. And the central teachings of the Bible are clear to God's people, and we can understand them. If you think about it, when people say, oh, well, you know, I'm confused or I'm not sure, really, that is misusing language. Because in reality, when we communicate, we do understand what people say. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're driving down the highway at 85 miles an hour and you get pulled aside by a highway patrolman. And he walks up with this little black book and he opens it up to get ready to give you a ticket. And he says, do you understand what you did wrong? And you say, well, no. Well, there's a sign back there and it says the speed limit is 65 miles an hour. You were going 85. Now let me ask you again, do you understand what you did wrong? Well, actually, officer, I was confused. And the reason is because I was confused by the meaning of the sign. And the officer says, what do you mean the meaning of the sign? Speed limit is 65 miles an hour. It's pretty clear. Yeah, but you don't understand, officer, there's a lot of meanings for the word limit. Did you know that if you looked in a dictionary, you would find actually 6 different meanings for the word limit? For example, the limit can mean, if you were to look in a dictionary, the final, utmost, or furthest boundary or point. It could also mean, if you think about it, the maximum sum by which a bet may be raised at one time. Or, if you're really into math, it could mean one or two numbers affixed to the integration symbol for a definite integral. And don't even ask me, officer, about the word speed. There's actually 10 different meanings for the word speed. And if you're talking about 75, you know, numbers can be used in a variety of things. Sometimes they mean a plain literal sense of exactly 75, but sometimes they can be used in a symbolic sense of just, you know, a way that we all are traveling, and it's a convenience of speed, and it's the flow of traffic. I was just going the flow of traffic. What would the officer respond? They say, here, tell it to a judge. So you go before the judge and you give this big, incredible explanation and lay out all the definitions. What's the judge going to say? The society has determined, the lawmakers have made the meaning, speed limit is 65 miles an hour, go pay. Why? Because language can be understood and there are basic meanings that people understand. We're not that confused. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If I told my daughter, well, I want you to go clean up your room, and about 10 minutes later I go to check and she doesn't do anything. Well, Dad, I didn't understand anything. I thought you were just talking metaphorically. I thought you were talking about the big general picture of cleanliness. I didn't realize you were going to be that specific. She doesn't even do that because she knows I wouldn't buy it. If your teacher said to you, well, I want you to go ahead and do a book report on so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And so then she calls you up and says, well, where's your book report? Oh, you meant literally written. I thought you were talking about the pen of my mind. It's up here. And the reason is this. When people in authority give you something to do in a general statement, they expect you to understand it. God made language that way, and we actually do understand it. But what happens is one of the tricks that Satan wants us to believe is that the Bible is so confusing. Now, there are individual passages that are hard to understand. And I've studied the Word for many, many, many years. And still, I don't understand some things, but I understand all the central teachings and all the majority passages can be understood and what they teach. And so this morning, I want to give you several truths to explain the clarity of the Scriptures. Truth number one. God gave His revelation, the Scriptures, to give His people understanding of His truth. The central purpose of giving the revelation of God, the Scriptures, was so that we might understand, not be confused. Look at Psalm 119, verse 97. God gave His revelation, the Scriptures, to give His people understanding, not confusion. Psalm 119, verse 97. When you're listening to these words, I want you to think to yourself, does it sound like the psalmist understands the word and also that understanding has made him actually wiser than all the worldly teachers around him because he understands the wisdom of God? He says in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. How could he be wiser than his enemies if he's confused about the commands of God? In fact, he understands them, and that understanding has made him wiser than his enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, and that's talking about all of my secular teachers when it comes to insight into the very issues of life. For he says, I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, again, in all of the issues of life. And he's not talking about here about elders within the church. He's talking about all those who are older than me who are not believers. And he says, why? For I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I may obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. You have taught me, God. How? Through your precepts, through your statutes, through your commands. I have been taught by God Himself. And what does teach? To explain so that you might understand. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How could he say that unless he understood the word, and that understanding made him wiser in the things of life than those who were secular around him? Couldn't. You had to understand it. We are taught of God through his word. We understand the truths of life because of what God has given to us. Let me show you another. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. We are not confused. We are not confused. Why did God call the nation of Israel? Why did God call the church? To be witnesses of who he is. To be witnesses of the world. To be witnesses of the true God, Jehovah. To be witnesses and tell others about the true God so that they might come to know him and enter heaven. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, it says this. He's talking to the Jews, and he's telling them who he is and reminding them of why he was called, because what had happened is, at this time, they had allowed all of these idols in the land. They were the first compromisers. They were the first ones to say, yeah, go ahead, idol worshippers, come on in. Everybody's okay. Everybody's right. They were the first ones. And notice what God says. He says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. And see where it says in your translation has four capital letters, Lord? That means the Hebrew is Yahweh, Jehovah. That's God's name. And he says, you are my witnesses, declares Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen. For what purpose? So that you may know and believe me. And what is knowledge? To understand God. That is not to understand all of his infinite nature, but to understand that he is infinite. To understand what he has revealed about himself and to trust it. And he says, and to understand that I am he, that is, I am God, and before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. To understand that I am the only God. I am the only one. Oh man, I'm confused about that. Are you? If somebody asks me, do you believe that God is the only one? I don't know. For me, God is the only one. But is he the only one? I don't know. Yes, you do know. He is the only one. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. There isn't 15 ways to interpret that. There is only one. And lo and behold, the Jews, when they let everybody in, never disputed that. They knew they were wrong. He says in the next verse, I am the Lord. And just so they know it, apart from me, there is no Savior. There is no salvation. Even in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, he was still saying there is no Savior but God. The God of the Jews who revealed himself in Jesus Christ. I have revealed, I have saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witness, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? And I am all powerful. Confusing? Nope. Clear? Yes. Absolutely clear. Remember the parable of Jesus in Matthew 13 where he said this, and the one on whom seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. In the central teachings of the nature of God, the nature of Jesus Christ, the nature of salvation, the problem of man, the return of Jesus Christ, we can understand it and we need to live according to it. And it doesn't matter how much age of tolerance we live in. It doesn't matter whether we have to tell people the hard truth. Nobody wants to reveal that somebody has cancer. Nobody wants to break their heart. But unless our heart is broken because of our sin, we can never come to Christ. Unless we acknowledge that we are sinners and headed to hell, we can never come to Christ. Unless we share with others that they are hopelessly lost without Christ, they cannot come to Christ. That is the gospel. It is clear. It's not popular. The world wants us to make us feel like we look like a bunch of narrow-minded bigots. Right? You know what I tell them? I didn't say it. God said it in the Bible. And it's true. Jesus said, I came to separate people with a sword. From fathers and mothers, from sons and daughters. And what he meant there is the gospel is going to separate within your own family. Like in my family, there will be those who believe and those who reject. But that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now we should do it lovingly and caringly. But to love someone is to tell them the truth, right? Now again, doesn't mean you beat people on the head. It doesn't mean you take a Bible like a baseball bat. At the right time, at the right moment, when God gives you the opportunity to share the gospel, but the gospel must be shared in its truest form as taught in the scriptures. Number two, God holds his people accountable for understanding the scriptures. God holds his people accountable for understanding the scriptures and the truth it teaches. Look at John chapter 14, verse 21. Again, Jesus said this to his disciples just before he left to remind them that there was going to be a dividing line between people. There will even be people, he said, who will claim the name of Christ, but they will not obey me. They will not hold fast to me. They will attach themselves to me because it's the thing to do. John 14, 21, Jesus said this, whoever has my commands and obey them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. What he is saying is this. You want to know what a true Christian is? A true Christian is someone who understands and obeys my commands. That's how you tell if someone perfectly? No, we can't. As a regular commitment of our life? Absolutely. That's what a Christian is. There is a change when someone comes to Christ. Number three. God appointed apostles who would interpret his word properly so his people would not misunderstand it. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. You say, well, how do we know for sure we're understanding it right? Because there were true interpreters of the word that were given by Jesus Christ himself that handed that truth down, and they were the apostles of Jesus Christ. We believe the apostolic doctrine of the word. They gave the scriptures. They solidified our thinking about the Old Testament. They gave us the teaching of the New Testament. And they left a testimony that the early church was very clear. And if you study early church history, over and over, those early church fathers said this, the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. We stand on the apostles' doctrine. The Gnostics didn't stand in the apostles' doctrine. Arius didn't stand in the apostles' doctrine. And when they all got together to decide the exact nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son, they went back to the apostles' doctrine. And we do too. And the apostles' doctrine is the New Testament, written by the apostles and their close associates. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. Now look at verse 11. He says, for I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. The credential of an apostle is that he received revelation from Jesus Christ. That's a credential. That's what we follow. God appointed apostles to do that. Number four, God gave his Holy Spirit to anoint his people so they would know and understand his salvation truth. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Some people say, well, what is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you it in a nutshell. 1 John chapter 2. Every believer has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is not the filling of the Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit has to do with the Holy Spirit coming to live within us and giving us the truth about Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2. Some teachers had arisen up in the church, which we shouldn't be surprised, and began to teach false doctrine. In 1 John 2:19, John says, they went out from us, who is us, the true believers in Jesus Christ, and obviously the ones who believed in what John said as an apostle. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. They claimed to be Christians, but they did not hold to the apostolic doctrine that John the apostle and the other apostles were given. Then in verse 20, he says this, but you, he says, they went out from us. They were false teachers. They called themselves Christians. By the way, these people went around and they knocked on doors. Says, hi, I'm a Christian. But they weren't, because they did not believe in the apostolic doctrine of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. But you, talking to true believers, have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I love those words. You know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. See, but what truth do I know? I don't feel like I know the truth. Well, he defines it. Verse 22. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Now here's the truth. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. The truth that we absolutely know, every believer knows by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is the truth about the true identity of Jesus Christ as God become a man and His death on the cross. You can go anywhere. Africa. China. It doesn't matter if those Christians are being persecuted. It doesn't matter what color of their skin. It doesn't matter their dress. It doesn't matter the instruments they're using. It doesn't matter the circumstances of life. Every true believer believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He died on the cross for our sins, and that He is the Son of the Father, and is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because guess what we're baptized in? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 5. God warned us that there would be those who will purposely distort the understanding of the Scriptures. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The same Paul the Apostle that it said is revelation. And it's funny, because as soon as Paul was going around, Satan began to sow the seeds of deceit. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I am astonished, surprised, bewildered, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. There's going to be a different gospel, a false one. Galatians 1:6. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. And Paul warned. He brought the elders together in Acts chapter 20 and warned them that there will be wolves that will rise up within the flock. They all started within, all the cults, Christian cults, started within the flock. All those who have added to the Scriptures. All those who have brought other revelation. Number 6, the Bible gives clear answers to life's greatest questions. You want a clear answer how did life originate? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, why is man having so problem? How could some kid go into a college in Virginia Tech and mow down all those people? Out of the heart, Jesus said, Matthew 7, comes murder. For from Adam, Romans 5 says, death spread to all men. How do we know all about God? We know the nature of God. We saw it, Isaiah 43. who He is, the nature of Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 16. Do we know about life after death? We absolutely do. All who believe receive eternal life. John 3:16, 1 John 5:11. The Bible's loaded with it. What did Christ do on the cross? Jesus Christ, Romans 5:8, came to redeem man. Is He the only way? John 14:6. Is salvation by grace through faith alone? Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. Is it clear? Absolute clear. We're not confused. We're clear. And because God has communicated us clearly, we need to stand on it. We are responsible. Don't be fooled. Because the Bible is clear. Paul said it this way. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. 2 Timothy 4:2.